Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The basic is this doesn't affect money the next 2 years, at least right now. It's more years after the contract is over. I'm literally just going to read the spot track representation of this, and then at some point we'll try and make it make sense. But again, I have plenty of guys who have burner accounts that work for the Browns telling me that I don't know ball because this is totally a genius move by the Cleveland Browns. But here we go. Here's what's going on. This is, again, verbatim. Here's what's going on with the Deshaun Watson's contract. Right now, he holds cap hits of $72 million in each of the next two seasons. He also holds $172 million of dead cap in 2025, rendering him unreleasable. The Browns are preparing to keep him rostered through 2026, but will need to convert salary into signing bonus to temper his $73 million hits. In order to do this, the dead cap that hits the 2027 cap will soar once the contract voids. With today's restructuring, is likely done is move back the void dates in his contract and added dummy salaries to 2027 and 2028. This allows Cleveland the opportunity to designate post-June 1 release in 2027, spreading out what is likely to be around $89.5 million of dead cap when it's all said and done. So, now you can correct me here, because again, I don't know ball and I don't know spot track here. That means roughly $73 million dead cap, cap hits the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And then but spreading basically $90 million over the 2 years after that.
Yeah, because if you make him a June 1st release, you can basically take that money and put half of it on 2027, half of it on 2028. So that makes sense. The problem is that number could rise because you bring up the $73 million figures the next 2 years. That amount, they could restructure that again and then add to the voidable years even more money. So we have to kind of see how that plays out because if they try to create more cap space. And listen,
So you go 73, 73 to probably 45, 45, or maybe you cut that in half next year.
Maybe it's like 50 and then like, 50.
Again,
and then
I understand why people think this is a good move. I'm here to tell you, paying this much money, especially in dead cap, 2 years after Deshaun isn't on the roster, is still a tremendously stupid idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, like,
it's going to hamper you for the next 5 years.
Here's my thing. You can say it's a savvy money move by a GM in the NFL, right? Like, we can say this is the new age of the NFL. The salary cap isn't real. All the good GMs know that, and they find ways to manipulate it. And listen, like, I get it. The salary cap goes up every year, so this will be a small – like, the amount of money dedicated to Deshaun, the percentage of that – drops every year because there's more money that you have in your pot because the cap goes up. So I get how all that works. But at the same time, like, look around the league at teams that rely on just kicking the can down the road and having voided years on contracts. Where has that gotten the Saints since the Drew Brees contract? Where has it gotten them?
I believe a bunch of middle-of-the-road years. And by the way, that's playing in a really, really light division, the NFC South.
And so that's my point. Like, you can look around and find teams that do that. Where has it actually gotten them? Like, you were better off doing what the Rams did and, like, trading all your draft capital for players that can play right now and doing that way and then having to, like, recoup draft picks later and just be kind of average for a couple years than you are doing what the Saints did and what the Browns are now doing, which is just relying on voidable years to fix everything. So I'm not saying that in the name of winning next year, which is the argument we were just having, it does make a lot of sense. And it will work out for the Browns in terms of, like, creating space to make some moves next year and stay competitive like Myles Garrett wants. And I understand why they're going about it that way. Yeah, but the bigger question is, should they do that or should they just kind of start over? Or and the other part of this then is, like, long term, like, okay, does this actually work out for you in the end? If you're trying to save your job, like if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski think they're going to be here till the end of their contracts, are you talking about it? Like, are you going to be fired after 2026 anyway because you're just kind of meddling in mediocrity and you don't have a lot of cap space because you've just kicked so much cans down the road?
That thinking to me is already fireable. If you're thinking about setting yourself up for success next year, I have no interest in being in business with you. If this is about preserving what you have, knowing that it likely puts you in a much worse situation next year, and by the way, you could still end up at 3-14 having to trade Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It just reeks of desperation. It really does. And here's the thing. Like Tino on Twitter saying, you know, what else can we do? We cut him. We're essentially waving the white flag for the next two seasons while saying goodbye to Miles, Betonio, and possibly Ward and Chubb. Guys, that might have already been put into motion when you didn't draft well enough without the picks you gave up to get Deshaun Watson. Like, I just think this idea of constantly trying to sell something as a win. No, you're constantly work. And by the way, I'm not drafting a quarterback this offseason now, because 4 of the 5 years of a rookie contract will have been sacrificed. That competitive advantage you get will have been sacrificed paying Deshaun Watson too much damn money. I'll be honest, it might even have to take you off the board of drafting a quarterback in 2026, because it'll still only be 3 years.
I disagree with that, because that's the whole point of drafting a rookie, is they're on the rookie deal, so it doesn't matter what
but you don't want to. But you know what you do when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal? You spend the rest of the money elsewhere, not on a slap-ass quarterback who can't walk out of bed without getting hurt.
Well, yeah, that's true, but you can't wait to draft one just because.
Yes, you can. Well, in a year where the quarterbacks are not thought to be franchise caliber,
you can
you can.
Well, but the problem with, like, waiting for next year and trying to thread the needle and getting Arch Manning is, like, there's a lot that has to happen for you to get Arch Manning.
Well, no, but I'll be honest with you. That's the only way you should draft a quarterback in 2026. With this move, with the way this sets up, you cannot – you just can continue – like, Kirk Cousins doesn't seem as desperate to me now. Kirk Cousins seems like, he wants to play for $1 million next year. Sure. I have no idea if it'll work out, but that's better than basically sacrificing 4 years of a 5-year rookie contract, which, by the way, what's the most expensive year of a rookie contract? The 5th-year option. So basically, you will never have benefited from the most valuable thing you can have in the NFL, which is a rookie contract. So if you think one of these dudes can be a franchise quarterback, well, you take him when you take him. Nobody's saying any of these guys can be franchise quarterbacks this year.
I think there's some people. But, no, I mean, you're right in the sense that, like, you're wasting that window. I mean, like, it's like, look at the Texans did, right? Like, they have C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract. They went out last year. They trade for Stephon Diggs. They make all these other moves. And then they try to become this team that can potentially could be for a Super Bowl. So you're right. Like, they'll miss some of that. But I still don't think, like, The beauty of the rookie contract is that it allows a team like the Browns, who are in this very dicey situation, to potentially be able to take one and find their franchise guy while they have this Deshaun contract on the books.
And in fairness,
the other thing I'll say to people, because, again, they're bringing up, like, well, this is genius for us. We're kicking Canada. The other thing to think about is, like, they've also done that with other players. That's the important thing here, too. It's not just Deshaun's contract that they're kicking down the road. It's, like, Denzel Ward's future years. It's Jack Conklin, who is a conversation we have to have this offseason. His future money. It's a bunch of guys, and so that adds up to, maybe it's the 45 and 27 and 28 for Deshaun, but it's also going to be, like, guys that are maybe also being, like, leaving the team at that time, that factors into your dead money cap as well.
And just, and by the way, if you're defending the Browns organization at this point, you've lost the plot. I don't give a damn how good it seems like you are at manipulating a cap when you've won nothing, when you can't pick a quarterback, when you've made the worst trade in NFL history, when you've taken a team that looked like it was ready to win every single year.
So this all goes back to
real quick. Yeah. When you look like you were ready to build a team that was ready to be sustainably competitive for multiple years, for a half decade, for 7 years, all in the name of trying to get one last year of winning with Myles Garrett. Like, you do nothing well. You do everything average or below average, except, hey, nobody manipulates. That has nothing to do with how good they are. That actually has to do with how good Jimmy Haslam is at spending his own damn money.
Well, and that's to me, Nick, like, the points you're sort of mentioning here and alluding to, that all goes back to the question of, like, what has Andrew Berry proven to you over the last, 5 years that he does exceptionally well? Because
Jimmy Haslam's shoes.
The only thing I can think of is that he knows how to pay people. All he's been able to do, like, he paid Myles Garrett. That wasn't his draft pick, but he paid him. He paid Denzel Ward. Wasn't his draft pick, but he paid him. He paid all the guys that other people brought in here and drafted, and then what else has he proven to you? So if your only argument is like, well, this is really savvy business move by Andrew Berry, and that's the thing that you're falling back on, look around at everything else. He hasn't drafted very well. They don't have a lot of talent coming up on this roster to make you feel good about the team moving forward. I guess the only other thing we can say he does well is he trades for wide receivers very well. He's nailed two wide receiver trades, Amari Cooper and now Jerry Jeudy. That's about it. But, like, again, if I'm asking this overarching question of what does he do well, the only thing I can say is, like, move money around, which we think is savvy, and pay guys. I can't say anything else. So why are we trusting the guy that all he's done is move money around and pay guys that he knows that they have a way out of this that makes sense?
We're going to have more on this, obviously, as the show goes on. Daryl Ryder's going to join us at 6 o'clock today. When we come back, it's time for the 5 at 5 on 92.3 The Fan.